After camping the night under the five-top dock, the great march back to Redwall got underway. Once they were out of their immediate territory, the entire tribe of Painted Ones appeared very subdued, obeying commands without question. This suited Bosey fine when they reached the Broadstream bank. He had been walking in the vanguard, downwind of the captive band. Whether it was from their lack of bathing or the noxious plant dyes which they were liberally daubed with, Bosey could not tell. The fastidious hare held a lace kerchief to his nostrils to avoid the odour emanating from the conquered tree rats. Halting them on the edge of the broad stream, he pointed to the water.
"Mayhaps you'd like to take a dip and give yourselves a good scrubbing. It pains me to tell you that I cannot abide breathing the same air as you. So in you go, you braw wee stinkers."
Skipper shook his head dolefully.
"'Tis the poor little fishes we pity, mate."
On the opposite bank, Biscay and his friends assisted Knocko and his gonflins, hauling out the freshly cleaned up prisoners. Spingo remarked to her father,
"Those Painty ones don't look very scary without all that muck plastered over them, da."
Knocko agreed,
"You're right, darling. They ain't nothing but a bunch of skinny, wet rats. Oh, you, get back in and scrub behind your ears."
Tugger Bruster threw Samolus a surly salute.
"Is it all right for me to cross with my Gowsum now?"
The sprightly old Redwaller nodded.
"Aye, go ahead."
Skipper watched the shrews wading through the stream.
"What was all that about, mate?"
Samolus eyed the Gowsum logalog shrewdly.
"Bullying, Skip. I've been watching Bruster. He's been bullying the prisoners, so I kept him over this side. I don't like that sort of thing."
Bosey hitched up his kilt as he entered the water.
"Oh, yon Bruster would have slain those Painted Ones to your beast if we hadn't stopped them. I tell you, though, he's plain feared of that rat wife, the dead leader's mate. If looks could kill, he'd be long slain the way she glares at him."
Samolus waded into the shallows, nodding.
"Aye, she's a vengeful one, all right. The sooner we loose those rats on the flatlands and Tugger Bruster parts company with us, the happier I'll be."
Skipper plunged into the broad stream, adding,
"Right, right. We've got a feeling this whole thing could end badly if we don't keep a tight rein on the situation."
Biscay, Dwink and Humphrey marched alongside Spingo, being constantly plagued with questions and inquiries about their home. The gonfalon maid was good company and so pretty that they suffered her prattling gladly.
"So then, who's the pike-headed your abbey, eh?"
Humphrey scratched his head spikes.
"What's a pikehead?"
Spingo scoffed.
"A chieftain. My dar's the pikehead of all the gonflins."
Biscay smiled.
"Oh, I say, a leader. We have an abbot, Glessum is his name, though I think he might object to being called a pikehead. You like our abbot. He's a friendly, wise old dormouse."
Dwink interrupted.
"You're that Fry Skirple, too. He's the best cook in all of Mossflower."
Spingo nodded.
"Sling belt nosh, can he?"
Dwink and Humphrey were both mystified, but Biscay had come to learn a few gonfalon expressions. He explained.
"That means, does Friar Skirple cook good food? Ha! Let me tell you, missy, once you've tasted our friar's breakfast, you won't be able to wait for lunch."
Humphrey's face took on a dreamy expression.
"No afternoon tea. Followed later by dinner. Then supper. But best of all is Friar's feast."
Spingo looked a picture of wistful innocence.
"I've never had a feast. What's it like?"
As if on cue, Dwink broke out into an old Redwall ditty.